Last week, we talked about our new day. We talked about our new name as we continue to communicate an eternal message and a sacred mission. So today and the next 2 weeks until we get to our Christmas season, we're going to be talking about our mission. Now, our name isn't cutesy and common, and our mission isn't cutesy at all either. It comes straight from the Word of God. It is word for word, right from the Word. Found in, thank you for that, Romans chapter 1, verse 5, okay? And so I want you to think about this. Be my heart that you would know it, commit it to memory, okay? It's not hard, but it is profound. We exist to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all the nations, okay? In that, there is everything, I believe, that God calls a church and what God is calling us to do. We exist to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all the nations. If you could go to the next slide, please, that would be great. This is our logo, so you see this? It does have a cross on it, so this might help you to remember this. So when I think about this, on the left side, I go, we exist to bring about the obedience of faith, and then going up for the sake of His name, right? So we exist to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name, and then going out among all the nations, okay? So that might help you when you look at this to say, okay, what are we here to do again? Okay, we exist to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all the nations. And so this morning, I'm going to give us greater context to this verse. So go to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read a portion of where we come up to this passage. And then we're going to find that same formula at the end of the book of Romans. So Paul starts with it, and he ends with it. And in the middle, of course, he gives us profound theological truth. So we're going to look at coming to context to where this verse is so we can understand what God is communicating to us through His Word. Okay, so Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 1, goes this way. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. Paul wasn't a volunteer, right? He was a servant, fully committed, giving himself over to the Lordship of Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Don't you like that, right? Set apart for the gospel of God. He understood that his calling, and in turn our calling, is to communicate the gospel of God, the good news which is in Jesus Christ, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. This is Old Testament. It is there as well. Verse 3, concerning his son, whom was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Scripture, Old Testament, by the prophets, by the Holy Spirit, pointed to the salvation which would be found in the Son of God, which was to be a literal son, descendant of David, who was a descendant of Abraham, which God gave his promises. This was the one, Jesus, who is qualified physically and then declared spiritually, right, and through the resurrection to be, this is the Son of God. Through whom, okay, we have received, verse 5, grace and apostleship. He's given us his grace and his calling, and here's the phrase, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you, who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to Jesus Christ. Got that? He doesn't belong to you. You belong to Him. We are called to this. And he goes on, to those in Rome who are loved by God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is an amazing start to a profound book. If you've ever read the book of Romans, it is the systematic spelling out of God's truth and theology and what he speaks to us. I believe that Romans perhaps is what Paul taught to places when he went there, because Rome was a place that he had not yet been. And so he wrote this letter saying, I'm coming, and this is what I want you to know. And he goes down precept by precept, principle by principle, talking about things like God's sovereignty and calling and election and wrath and creation and law and the role of work of Christ, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and all of these things. He talks about them line by line by line by line. It's amazing. It starts this book by telling us about Christ and his calling and what he is endeavoring to do to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nation. And he gives us all of this incredibly rich, compact, theological information. And then he ends the letter, okay? If you read through all of these chapters, which I'm going to encourage you to do so, read them slowly and carefully, understanding what God is bringing to the forefront for us. And then he ends the letter in chapter 16 in a very similar way that he started it. Chapter 16, starting with verse 25. Now to him who is able to strengthen you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings, again pointing to the Old Testament, has been made known to all nations. There's the nation part. Okay, all nations, all people, all tribes, all tongues. It has been made known, and we are in the process of seeing this fulfilled. According to the command of the eternal God. It was God's idea. He first scattered us to the ends of the world, where we filled the world with our presence. And then he calls us to go to the ends of the world, to fill the world with his presence. His idea. What for? To bring about, see this again, to bring about the obedience of faith. There it is again. To the only wise God, this is the reason, be glory forevermore through Christ Jesus. Amen. Right? So these are the bookends to all of this rich theology. That we are here to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. We see the Apostle Paul returning to these points. Now, this morning, we're going to focus on the first phrase of our mission or our purpose statement. To bring about the obedience of faith. And here are the 2 points. We're talking about a faith that grows and a faith that shows, okay? A faith that grows and a faith that shows. 2 points. Here's the first. Faith that grows. There it is, okay? So I wanted to go back to the logo slide. If you would do that for me, please. Yeah, it should be the next slide. There it is. Okay, so as I was looking at this and thinking about this message for this week, you notice what color is the word church? What color is that? Green, okay? Green is a color of growth, right? I think the Holy Spirit, and we didn't know it, guided us to this color, okay? So when you look at church is green, right? And the church, or this church, is a greenhouse where faith is sown and people are grown. You catch that? Where faith is sown and people are grown. The church really is a greenhouse in some regards, okay? It's an analogy that we can use that this place is a stained glass greenhouse in which, right? Faith is sown. People are grown for the obedience of faith. Now, this phrase, to bring about, that is a process word, okay? You don't just jump into faith and you are ready to go, fully mature, knowing everything and equipped to do every good work. It doesn't happen that way. Faith actually is the starting line versus the finish line. You guys catch this? Okay. We come into faith, and once we come into faith, we're justified, right? And then we are sanctified, and then we are glorified, right? So we get introduced to the race. We get introduced to the faith. And we believe, and then God transforms us and grows us and builds us so that we can know Him and make Him known. So to bring about is a process phrase. Growth is a process. Have any of you now yet arrived spiritually? Are you like at the pinnacle? Anybody? I know Pastor Gordon's probably like, yeah, I'm close. Right? We never arrive, right? We come in and then we learn and we grow. And if you're 2 years old, welcome. And if you're 92 years old, welcome. You're still in the growth process. You can never exhaust God, by the way. You can't like get to the end and like, wow, that's everything? No, there's always more, right? And we're going to have an eternity to know God, right? And to understand His glory and to be continued in God's work in us and through us. And who knows what that's all going to entail, but I know we cannot exhaust God. So we are here to bring about, right? It's a process. We are to be growing in Christ and growing in Christ-likeness. The Apostle Peter tells us this. He says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he tells us to be like newborn infants, right? And here's a newborn infant right here, right? Be like this child. Long for pure spiritual milk. Why? That by it you may grow up into salvation. You like that phrase, right? If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So this, once we taste that Jesus is good, let's long for pure spiritual milk, right? Church should be focused in on the Word of God for the glory of God, right? That, come on, thank you. That's an amen spot, right? Right? We speak from this. It's not a self-help program. It's not a psychological five tips for a new you, okay? This is a transformation process which God has glorified. The Word gets in us, transforms us, and makes us like Christ. So we want to crave, long for spiritual things, right? That helps us to what? To grow up, right? Into what? Salvation. What it means. What we are to be about as we follow obediently Christ. Now, how do we do this, right? God gives us people to help us do this. Having the Word, reading it, better yet, having the Word and allowing it to read you matters, right? And then God puts us in a community and God gives us His body and gives us the church. And look at, this is Ephesians chapter 4, now look at these verses and notice how often it is that we are to grow. You see this language all throughout this, okay? And He gave, that is, Christ gave of us apostles, right, and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. You know that you're all ministers. Do you know that? Right? It's not the person with a reverend by their name. Okay? You are the ministers. I have a privilege of equipping, right? I just I just kind of open the doors and say, okay, what do you need, right? My job is to equip. You're the ministers. Well, wait a second. I don't work for a church. No, you work for the Christ, right? And you're called at various places, regardless of where you live, regardless of where you work. These things are a ministry to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up. There's a phrase, building up. See this growth? Building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, womanhood, personhood, to maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that we may no longer be children, right? We start as children, we start as infants, we are to long for things that help us to grow. And as we grow, we're no longer children who are tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deschemes. By the way, not every preacher preaches from the Word of God, okay? And not every theology and not every philosophy is based in the Word. It's important to know the Word, right? And we say amen right there, right? There's lots of stuff, and now we have my little video cameras and YouTube projecting stuff to the ends of the earth, and not all of it is good. Be discerning. How do you become discerning? By using the filter of the Word, right? This is how you don't get deceived. This is how you stay on track. You hear something, you read something, compare it to the Word. And if it checks out, amen. If it doesn't, then check out, right? It's important. Because all of these craftiness, deceitful schemes. Now, how do we do this? Rather, speaking the truth in love. You like that? Okay. Truth in love. You have too much love, it's too soft. You have too much truth, it's too hard. Right. But in putting these things together, telling each other truth, because why? We want to be better? No, because we want to love more and bigger. It's important. This is how we grow up, speaking the truth in love. We are to, here's the language again, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, there's that word again, equipped, with each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. So much there. But I want to emphasize that we are to be a place in which to bring about, right? To bring about, we're growing, building, learning. And as we grow, we become wiser and stronger. And notice that there's an interconnectedness to it, right? If you have an arm that's really strong, but it's not connected to the rest of the body, that's a problem. You notice how the body's connected, that each one does its part. You have a part in this church. You have a part. So God, what is that part? How can I do this? And it can look in lots of different ways. From plugging in outlets, to participating in prayer, to running cameras, to working with kids, to leading a Bible study, to participating in outreaches, communicating evangelism, by bringing flowers over to people's house, by weeping with those who weep. Each person, each part ultimately, we are all going to give an account to God. You guys recognize this? We want a place in which we say, how has God equipped you? What is He calling you? And how can we see that happen and flourish? Because ultimately, we do these things in the glory of God. I tell people when they're considering churches, go to a place, number one, that speaks from the Word. And number two, get involved, right? A place where you can use your gift, because ultimately, you're going to be responsible for that in the final accounting of things. Each of us is in process. Each of us has a part to play. So we are to bring about the obedience of faith. Bring about a place that grows, a faith that grows, and then a faith that shows. Now, I want you to pay attention to the language that is written for us by the Holy Spirit. Notice that our key verse says to bring about the obedience of faith. It does not say to bring about the belief of faith. It says obedience of faith. Now, you have to believe something, which is important. But belief must be demonstrated in action. The gospel's goal is faith evidenced in obedience that brings glory to God among all the nations. Faith and obedience go hand in hand. And often we try to separate them. Well, I believe. So if you believe, then don't you think it should show up in reality? Because if it doesn't show up in reality, then you don't believe. Let's talk about that. Let's unpack this a little more. Ephesians chapter 2, okay? Going to lots of different passages, okay? This is topical. Often I go textual, but for these messages, it's going to be topical, okay? So we're going different places. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10 are some of my favorite verses because it encapsulates the gospel and our connection to it. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And we say amen right there, right? For grace you have been saved. God's grace to us through faith. And this is not your own doing. No one's going to get to heaven and pat themselves on the back. Great job, me. You did a great job, right? You kidding me? Right? And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Salvation is not a result of works so that no one may boast. For we have been saved by grace through faith. Salvation cannot be earned, but only received as a gift of God. And we can say amen, hallelujah, right? You can't earn it, right? It's a gift of God, salvation is, by His grace, and it's received through faith. And we can say, thank you, Jesus, right? The moment we believe. This is the foundation of our salvation, is grace through faith. Now, this passage doesn't stop with verse 9. And then it connects it to a second part of this. Now, check this out. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we show good things not to be saved, but because we already are saved. Okay? Does this make sense? We're not trying to earn our salvation. I'm not talking about works righteousness. I'm talking about receiving salvation as a gift through faith because of the grace of God and what God accomplished in Jesus Christ. And therefore, once we believe this, we recognize that you, okay, put your name in here, you are God's workmanship. You're created, you're designed, you're crafted with all of who you are. In Christ Jesus, why? For good works. Things that God has prepared for us. That we should walk in them. See this connection, right? Obedience of faith. We have faith, so therefore we're obedient. One commentary, I read this last week, said this. It says, faith, if genuine, always has obedience as its outcome. I'm going to read this slow. Faith, if genuine, always has obedience as its outcome. Obedience, if it is to please God, must always be accompanied by faith. What marks God's people is no longer deeds done in obedience to the law, but an obedience that stems from, accompanies, and displays faith. Faith and obedience are two sides of a coin, right? They must be distinguished, but they cannot be separated, right? If you have one, you have the other, because you can't have one without the other, okay? Obedience to the gospel is essential for salvation through the gospel. That's a significant statement, in particular in our current culture of thinking that, well, I believe in God. Know what James says? The devil believes in God. I can assure you, the devil will not be in heaven. But our culture would say, hey, just believe, right? And is belief important? We say, absolutely essential. We must believe the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that God so loved the world, right? And then we have fallen short of God's standard because of our rebellious hearts against God. And therefore, because God is just, we're under His, here's an unpopular word, wrath. But Christ took God's wrath upon Himself, the perfect one, not deserving it, took what was due us on Himself. So that through our faith in His righteousness, now we become the righteousness of Christ, right? Beautiful, right? And in that, we now have the responsibility and the awesome invitation to be like Christ, to follow after Christ. Obedience to the gospel is essential for salvation through the gospel. Now, we love John 3:16, right? We love that, right? And it's so fun. You go out there, and by the way, you like the new sign? It's pretty cool. Nice job, guys, right? And right out there, yeah, you see that. And then if you look at from it from this side, God so loved, right? And in the middle of it, it's a garden. What a perfect picture, right? Whatever they put that in 100 years ago or 50 years ago, right? This is what we are. This is what we're doing. This is what we're growing for His sake to all the nations, right? It's beautiful. But John 3:16, if you continue to reading and down the passage, you come across this curious, these words here. Now look at this closely. This is John 3, Verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. We're like, okay, got it. Right? Now, whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. What? But the wrath of God remains on him. What's going on here? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Okay, got it. Whoever does not obey, you see that word there? Obey? Obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God remains on him. So there is a connection, and there's many places, I'm going to show you just a few, between belief being connected to obedience. Evidenced by what we do, loving God and loving others. So if people say they believe and this is the basis of our salvation, must be living this out in obedience to the Son. Faith is not just believing information. It's about experiencing and expressing transformation. Right? Come on. It's more than, right? So you have to believe information, right? And we need to know the basics of Christianity. We need to know who God is. We need to know that we are sinful. We need to know what God did through Jesus Christ. We need to know these things. But faith is just not believing certain information. It's about experiencing and expressing transformation. That's what we're looking for. Have you read John chapter 15? Right? Vine and the branches, right? And this importance on bearing fruit. You see this all over Scripture. Okay? Here's another set of verses for us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. Okay. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven. Just think about this. When he is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel. Do you see this? Those who do not know God. But then there's a group of people who at least know. But they do not obey the gospel. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Okay? Inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey. Follow the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. When he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints, to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. So there's a connection between belief and obedience. You catch this? Those who have believed are going to be those who follow and obey. These things are like a coin. They're connected to one another. Okay? If you have one, you will have the other. Commitment to Christ in faith leads to obedience through Christ in action. There's another phrase for you. Commitment to Christ in faith. Important. Foundational. Commitment to Christ in faith leads to obedience through Christ in action. One more verse. Okay, maybe two. Okay. Give me three. Give me four. Hey, another four. Another four. Here's another. Okay. Hebrews chapter 5. There are some fascinating verses as well. Although he was a son, that's Jesus, Jesus learned obedience. Huh? Through what he suffered. He was obedience to death, even death on the cross. Sound familiar? Philippians chapter 2. And being made perfect, perfection being perfected, right? That's an interesting thing. Seen for what he is, shown by his obedience, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who believed him. Is that what it says? Uh-oh. Did someone say uh-oh? Did you see that? I didn't write this. He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. It scares me as a pastor. How many people do we have in churches who have a concept of belief, but there's no evidence in obedience? As a nation. If we went and did a poll, there's probably, I don't know what the numbers are nowadays, I've heard roughly around 87%, 86%, probably a little lower than that, of people who think or believe that there is a God. But that's not the question the New Testament asks. Acts asks us to believe, and it says, now we must follow or obey. Sobering. It's frightening to a degree. What does that look like? Well, it looks like loving God and loving people, following after him. So as far as the gospel is concerned, you can't have faith without obedience. It's a strong statement. And you can't have obedience without faith. You can't have faith without obedience. And you can't have obedience without faith. So we have two categories of people. Some who believe, instead of prayer per se, they believe in a God. There's a lot of people who believe in a God. Is that saving faith? If you believe in the gospel, then there is evidence in your following the gospel. We're growing in it. We're learning about it. We're becoming more like Christ. We're in the process of sanctification. Whether you're 2 or 92, God is working. We're growing. We're becoming more and more like Christ, more and more mature. So you have a group that thinks that everything's good just because they said a prayer in second grade and they haven't followed Christ since then. They're not okay. Do you know and have you committed and have you embraced Christ? And is he in you and are you in him and are you to the best that you know how, right? We don't do this perfectly, following after him. God, what you say I want to do and where you go I want to be. What you feel I want to feel. Can't have faith without obedience. And you can't have obedience without faith. And that's another group of people who think that by their good works they're going to earn their way to heaven. Right? It won't get you there. Right? If you ask people, well, if you died tonight, where would you be? Or what do you say to God? Often the response is, well, my good outweighs my bad, so I think God will let me in. Have you ever heard that from anybody? Oh, yeah, right? I'm not a murderer, so hey, you know. He's got to let me in because I'm mostly good, right? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All are under the wrath of God. So as God is just and righteous and loving, based on his character, he has to condemn and punish wrongdoing, trespass, sin. If he did not, he would no longer be righteous. And he would no longer be loving. Okay? So there are people who try to merit God's favor by doing good. Now check this out, Romans chapter 14, verse 23. And whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Just let that sink in. If we're doing what we're doing, and we're not doing it because we have faith in Christ and we want to exhibit Him, then we could be doing our good works so people notice us versus that people will notice Christ. Right? Are you, check this, right? There's people who go on Peace Corps and they go into medical things and they go do lots of good things. And are doing good things a bad thing? No. However, if we're doing it out of a motivation that is less than faith in God, it scores a zero on the scoreboard of life. Okay. Have you read chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Without love, a clanging gong, right? Clanging cymbal, right? Zero. If I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, zero. If I give my body up to the flames, right? Without love, zero. As far as the gospel is concerned, you can't have faith without obedience, and you can't have obedience without faith. Again, I'm not looking at works righteousness. We are saved by the grace of God, what Christ did. We're perfected because He's perfect. Right? And then we follow Him as King and Lord. A faith that grows and a faith that shows for the sake of His name. Among all the nations. And James, right? Half-brother of Jesus. When I say that, James, mom was Mary, dad was Joseph. Jesus, mom was Mary, but father was conceived by the Holy, conceived by the Holy Spirit. James, who observed Jesus, right, wrote the book that we have. Anyone here like the book of James? I come away with black eyes when I read the book of James, right? Bam! Oh, hit me again. Bam! Hit me again, right? Hard hitting. To the point, right? Chapter 2 talks about this, right? Martin Luther did not like James chapter 2, right? Because it says, hey, you have faith, right? Here it is. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have obedience works. How can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed, for example, lacking in daily food, and one of you says to him, peace, be warmed and be filled, right? How is that helpful? Without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is it? So also faith by itself, if not accompanied by obedience, by actions, by work, is dead. Well, someone say, well, you have faith. Well, I have works. He says, show me your faith apart from what you do, and I will show you my faith by what I do, by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So I'm coming in for a conclusion here. I want you to see this, okay? Worship team is ready. They can come up. That'd be great. We exist to bring about the obedience of faith. I want you to think about this now. I want you to think about this week. Go ahead and do studies on this, okay? What does this mean? What does this look like? Faith that is living, following after Christ. It is growing. It's becoming more like Him. Loving God, loving people. God, help us to do that. We are declared righteous not because of what we do, but because of what Christ has done. And because of what Christ has done, we follow in His footsteps to do what Christ is doing. Do you catch that? Okay. What He's done is righteousness to us. What He's doing, He does it through us because we are His body and He is the head. God is still working in the world, and we can say amen, right? And He's working through you, right? He's working through us. We have a part in His great mission. What an invitation. I want my hand to obey what my head says, right? If it's disconnected, there's a problem. As He says, follow me, you're a part of me, listen to me. By faith, we are connected. So here's something practical. If you want to grow in your obedience, okay? We're coming in. If you want to grow in your obedience, then work on your faith. What do you mean? Well, I have trouble in relating to my spouse well. I know I'm to love her as I love myself. I know I'm supposed to love her as Christ loved the church, but I don't always do that. I don't want you to try harder to do that. I want you to grow stronger in your faith. God, I can't do this. God, you have to change my heart. I believe that you love her perfectly, so God, help me do it in me and through me. Help me to die to my flesh and live for you, Christ. I want to grow in my faith, and if you grow in your faith, it'll be evidence in your action. So if you want to grow in obedience and work on your faith, grow in your knowledge, and this will grow your obedience. And if you want to grow in your faith, then work on your obedience. What? A lot of us know more than we do. Yeah, now I hear you're like, oh, come on, Pastor, you're meddling with me. If you want to grow in your faith, then be obedient to what you already know. And if you do that, you notice that, oh, He's true, and oh, He's more glorious, right? And oh, He's so much more. Most of us need to say, God, I want to grow in my faith. God, help me to do what I already know. And then we will be built up. Okay. So we exist to bring about the obedience of faith. God, do you in this greenhouse grow? We'd sow His word that we would grow in it, whether you're 2 or 92. Faith that grows. Right? Let's be about it. It looks like evangelism. It looks like outreach. It looks like discipleship. Looks like fellowship. And then it ends in service. And then all of it is tied up for His name's sake. And we're going to talk about that next week, right? Why are we doing this? God, what are you doing? Right? So I'm going to pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for us. Those who are in this location, downstairs, upstairs, those who are online. I want you to talk to God and listen to where and what He's highlighting in your heart. Right? So maybe it's like, yeah, man, I'm there and this is so good. And then, God, what are you saying? And how can I grow in my faith? Or where am I not following you that close? God, help me in this. So in this, God highlighting to us by His Holy Spirit, we will listen, we'll learn, we'll love, will lead. So let's pray together. So God, here we are as an expression of your church in this location. God, we are venturing forward. We are giving ourselves over to you. It is a new day, and it is an eternal message. And we believe you are leading us. We believe we are better together. And we want to be about your business. So God, as we are here in this moment, give us ears to hear, God. God, I ask that we would meditate and think about what you would be saying to us. And God, what is of you today, may it settle in the soil of our souls and grow fruit. What's just me, God, may we all forget that. But God, we want to remember you. So highlight in our hearts, Lord. Help us to respond. I ask that we would grow in faith, God. I ask that we would grow in showing and in obedience. Help us, we pray. Be glorified in us, in this place, in each individual, as us corporately, for this region and unto the world. Do your work, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.